Please be seated. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We welcome you to this service of worship, a thanksgiving and a farewell to our dear sister Thelma Jenkins. Let's seek the Lord in prayer together. Let's pray. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, we bless thee once again that we come into thy presence. Thou art the glorious God, the maker of all things. O Lord, thou art full of majesty. Thou art the God that dwells in light, which no man can approach unto. And yet we dare approach thee in the name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to thee, we are mindful of our sin and of our need to be forgiven. And we ask once again that thou art grant us thy salvation. We bless thee, Lord, that thou hast shown thyself to us to be a heavenly Father indeed, a Father to all those that have put their trust in thee. And, O Lord, we bless thee this day that we can come knowing that thou hast a great care for our souls. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless us. And as we think of this occasion, we think with fond memory of our dear sister. And we pray, Lord, that thou grant us even this day to be those that would follow in her train. And, O Lord, that we might know what it is to be comforted with all the comfort of God in our sorrow and in our grief. Come and bless us then, Lord. May our memories be sweet. May we know what it is to see, as it were, into eternity and see that the end of all things is in the hand of our God. And therefore we bless thee and we thank thee. And we ask, Lord, that thou be with us as we seek thee in prayer, as we sing thy praise, and, O Lord, as we hear thy word. Come, draw near to us. And, O Lord, may we know what it is, Lord, to truly draw near to thee. Help us now. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing one of Thelma's favourite hymns. How shall I sing that majesty which angels do admire? Let's rise to sing.
Thank you.
We read from Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord indeed lead us in that everlasting way to glory through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now we sing together, Immortal, Invisible, God, Only Wise. Let's rise to sing.
Yeah.
time to remember our dear sister, Thelma Jenkins. And for many of us, we would perhaps like to know a lot more about her. Some of us have only known her in the last years of her life. But that has been a very pleasant experience for us in membership of the church here at Woolwich Evangelical Church. And you may know we're very tiny, but oh, she was a stalwart here. She was one that encouraged us, hardly ever missed a prayer meeting unless she was very unwell. And I have to be careful now, because before she went to be with the Lord, she said, "I don't want anything said about me." So I have to be very careful. But there are some things that we have to mention. You know, for many people around the country, the name of Thelma Jenkins is synonymous with a simplified holy war. And you will know that she, many years ago, rewrote the book. And she said, of course, that it was a very great and wonderful privilege for her to be able to rewrite Bunyan's immortal words. Holy war, an allegory of man's soul, a city, a town that stood for our own souls, and how we had rebelled against God and let Satan take over our lives, and how Emmanuel, the great prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to rescue man's soul and after many battles wins that soul. And well, I can't tell you all of it, you'll have to read it yourself. Certainly one of my favourite books. But in the end, that city is taken down brick by brick and taken to the heavenly places. And of course, that's exactly what has happened to our sister. Well, we are glad of that. And this simplified rewriting of the Holy War, well, it's been used for many years by parents and in Sunday school weeknight meetings. Very wonderful. Well, how did that happen? Well, Thelma thought many years ago that there was a need, and so she began rewriting one or two of the early chapters, reading it to her children, and they were intrigued with such a thing. And then it was put aside for a while, but then in 1975 she had a very bad bout of flu, up and down from bed. But then under the doctor's orders she was told to stay in bed at least a fortnight. Well, what was she to do? The thought came to her mind, well, get on with rewriting that wonderful book. And once she started again, she couldn't stop. And as we say, she had and said herself, it was a wonderful privilege of writing that famous book, published then by Evangelical Press and spread around the country. The Metropolitan Tabernacle, the large church there at the Elephant and Castle, well, they took it to their heart. And they had it in their weeknight meetings. And the children and the teachers made great models of man's soul and illustrated it. And Mrs. Jenkins and husband John were invited to go and see the models and see what was going on. And she found that a very good experience. Except for one thing, one of the children mistook John for being John Bunyan. And that caused quite hilarity in the family. Well, as well as many youngsters and adults that have enjoyed reading that simplified form of the Holy War, and some, many, gone on to read the whole wonderful volume of John Bunyan. Well, it's become a great surprise that our friend David Fortune of the Christian Prisons Association, he began to use it in the prison, and it was amazing how popular it became amongst the prisoners. And then a question and answer book was made to accompany it, and it's been greatly used to the blessing of many poor prisoners in such a state after some of the things that they have done, to receive something so useful, and so useful for those witnesses and those gospel preachers that have entered into the prison to seek the souls of those people in such dire straits. Well, it's up to the fourth edition now, including two study books. And so John Bunyan, the prisoner for the Lord, has his book used in prison 300 years later. Well, that's a marvellous tribute to her life. Of course, there are many other important things that perhaps she would not allow us to mention. But also another book, a book greatly used, A Breath of Fresh Air, contemplations from our sister, from life and from home and her beloved Wales. That also has been greatly used in testimony, why even the last two visits to hospital from our sister. I saw her giving out that book to the nursing staff and the caring staff, and that was a great witness. Well, of course, that came from her great love of birds and of nature that she found all around her, and she enjoyed that very much. Well, friends, we at Woolwich Evangelical Church, as you may have experienced also, so enjoyed her accompanying our worship and our singing with the piano. And as you listened to her playing the piano, well, you almost knew what was going on in her mind, because she just didn't play it in a monotonous tone. She would slow down, and that would be telling us all, think about this line that we're singing. Well, then she would speed up, and then we would know we should be joyful in this line. And so she was almost conducting us from the piano itself. And that was an amazing and, I think, a unique thing. We're going to miss her. Miss her here. Of course the family will. But we also, as a church, and you that have known her over many, many years in our prayer meeting, well, her prayers always started off with a Bible quote. Quoting the Bible in a way I could never do. And that was marvellous to us. And quoting hymns as well. Hymns I'd never heard of, but so appropriate. And all you could see what was going on in her mind. And she had such a desire, especially for the children, to come in and hear the gospel of everlasting grace. You know, she was a woman that would stand no nonsense. And that's why I have to be careful even here today as to what I say. But friends, she's with the Lord. You have your own memories of her. And we're glad we've come together to mark this occasion. We're glad that we can fellowship together, knowing that she is with the Lord, knowing and having a sure hope of that resurrection. And we're blessed. We're blessed by the experiences we have had. Why? You look around this building. It wouldn't be here if it were not for John and Thelma and others of our friends that banded together to preserve this building to this day. And no doubt lots of money went into it as well. As you see this double glazing, well, that just comes into my mind. And we're so glad. We're so glad that the Lord has preserved his work here. No doubt, especially through such folk. And we're so glad that the Lord has kept us and blessed us in these things. Well, may the Lord help us. Let me just read a few more words from the scriptures. So beloved of our sister, and so comforting to our hearts. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And Paul writes to believers, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John writes, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, O Lord, we bless thee for all those signs of life, spiritual life, that we saw in our sister. We thank thee, Lord, that in her life we saw that tender conscience concerning sin. We saw, Heavenly Father, that she was obedient to the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that she understood the gospel, understood it and believed it and trusted in it. Oh Lord, we thank thee that these are the things that were displayed in her life without doubt. And oh Lord, what a love she had for the brethren and for the church of Jesus Christ and the evangelism of the lost. And oh Lord, we know that she lived a life separated from this world. And so we thank thee for her testimony amongst us. We thank thee, Lord, for her testimony in the family and in the wider circle. And oh Lord, we bless thee that we have no doubt that she was thine and now she sits with thee in glory. We thank thee, Lord, that it was her testimony that she was chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ before this world was ever made, that she was accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his pure life and his atoning death. She was accepted in him, joined to him. And, oh Lord, we know that she would display in her life all that humility that showed that she was a forgiven soul, that she had repented of her sin and had sought the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And, oh Lord, what wisdom and prudence was granted to her in her life so that she might come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know his salvation and be assured of that wonderful inheritance that awaited her, that she enjoys even now and by that Holy Spirit that was granted to her in this life. And so, Lord, we thank thee for her life. And now we ask for ourselves. We ask, Lord, that thou would comfort us. Oh, Lord, that thou would make us to be assured of her safe keeping. We pray, Lord, that thou would come and be with the family especially, that they might know what it is to come to thee even now and know the comfort of their souls, knowing, Lord, that thou art a God of goodness and love and wonderful mercy. And, oh, Lord, thou art the promise-keeping God, the God that keeps the promise that all those that come to thee thou wilt in no wise cast out, but will bring them to thyself. And thou hast had her in thy hand, and none could pluck her from it. And so we bless thee, Lord, for these things, and ask that the memory of this dear one to us might be sweet in our minds this day and last forever. And, oh Lord, that we might know what it is to join her in the glory through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come then, bless us now, Lord, as we hear thy word and as we sing thy praise. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let's rise to sing and sing together, Just As I Am, without one plea.
Thy blood was shed for me. like to read a few verses from the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. But I'm conscious before I start that these words may be very familiar and precious to many people here. But there will be some others here to whom these words may be incomprehensible. You may find the language impenetrable. You might wonder what the point of reading these things are. You may say, well, it's no more interest or makes no more sense to me than my mobile phone contract, and I wouldn't read that for fun. But I'd ask you, because these words are precious and were precious to Mrs. Jenkins, and because they are very relevant when we consider her life, please try and follow, and I will try and explain and open up these things to us. So I'm going to read from chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is the author. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in his book Ecclesiastes the Preacher, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." The broad meaning of these verses is that we learn more in adversity than we do in pleasure. It's a shame. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could advance in life whilst being on a lovely holiday, with no money worries and no health worries and no concerns about our careers. If we could have rest at night and pleasure and eat wonderful food every day and yet still grow spiritually, well, that would be nice. But that's not the way it works, says Solomon, and he's right. We learn far more when we have times of trouble, when we have things to be anxious and to worry about, when we have difficulties and hardships, when we have bereavements, money troubles, health troubles. Those are the times when we're thrown on the Lord. We have to learn to pray again. We have to seek his wisdom and his promises in his word and lay hold upon them hard in faith. And that is the general meaning of these words. But we can take these words quite literally today, because we are not at a wedding where there will be food and drink and laughter and good stories. We're not at a comedy club. We're not in a cinema where we've gone to be entertained. We are in a house of mourning. And it is good sometimes to go to the house of mourning. A coffin is a powerful sermon. And now is the time for us to consider our own mortality and to carefully think about the meaning of life. Mrs. Jenkins, as we've already heard, has requested that we do not speak about her. She wants us to speak about her Saviour and about her God. That's who she wants us to think about at this time. I was at a funeral only a couple of years ago, and the person who had died had made it quite clear before he passed on that that was not his wish. He would quite like us to have spoken about all of his achievements and all of the things that he did in his life, and he wanted us to hire a male voice choir, a Welsh male voice choir, to sing to his glory, I think. Now, I don't know if Mrs. Jenkins liked Welsh male voice choirs. I know she liked most things from Wales, but she certainly would have enjoyed perhaps listening to such a thing. I don't know. But she wouldn't have wanted us to do that for her glory. She would want us to consider her God and to think about the spiritual truth of her life. My wife bought recently an attachment which goes on her phone, and it's a microscope with a light in it. It's a wonderful thing. And the children adore playing with it because you can just lean it up against anything, be it the wing of a fly or your own skin. And there on the screen, very clearly shown, is a greatly magnified image of what you wouldn't be able to see with the bare naked eye. And it's good sometimes to look at the great detail. But when we come to the house of mourning, we must take a step back. We must look at the big picture. We must consider the whole span of eternity and where Mrs. Jenkins has come from and where she has gone to. In our atheistic age, we think of the circle of life, don't we? We think of birth and then maybe reproduction and then sometime later death, and a circle that endlessly repeats itself. Mrs. Jenkins' life was not a circle. It says here, her birth was the 23rd of October, 1928. But that was not the beginning of Mrs. Thelma Jenkins' story. And that's why I read to you from Ephesians here. We see the start of Mrs. Jenkins' story here in verse 4. The Apostle Paul writes about believers, including Mrs. Jenkins, according as he, that is God the Father, hath chosen us in him, that is Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. And that is what Mrs. Jenkins believed. That there was a time before time. There was a point in history before Adam breathed his first breath. There was a time when God in three persons communed with himself and determined to create the world and determined to create the human race. And he chose his people before he created Adam. And he chose Thelma Jenkins. You might find that difficult to believe. You might find that greatly contrary to what you've been told. That doesn't tally with evolution. It doesn't tally with the Big Bang 13.4 billion years ago. It doesn't tally with what you were taught in science. This is the word of God. It is what I believe, and it is what Mrs. Jenkins believed. But before Adam breathed his first, God chose her. And in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us. Who were Mrs. Jenkins' parents? Well, they played a great and important part in her life, of course. They brought her physically into being. But it says here that before the foundation of the world, she was predestined to be adopted by the Lord God, to become a child of God. Spiritually speaking, it doesn't matter too much who her parents were. The big story here, the wide picture, is that God chose her and adopted her into her family before the creation of the universe. It was predetermined that it would happen, was ordained. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul, going through the timeline of history, through the personal history of God's people, we read, in whom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. To be redeemed means to be purchased, like a slave being bought out of slavery. Redemption through his blood, that was the price, the blood of Christ on the cross. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is the central and most important part of the history of Mrs. Jenkins' life. It doesn't even mention her birth in this passage. That is an incidental matter. Yes, she was born, but it doesn't matter spiritually. What matters is that she was chosen before the foundation of the earth, and while she was alive, she was redeemed and forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She trusted in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary for salvation. That made all the difference. She was forgiven her sins. Verse 10, that the fullness of times, in the fullness of times, he, that is the Lord God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. This is Mrs. Jenkins' future. You may say, well, she's died. She doesn't have a future. Yes, she does. Of course she does. Her body is here in front of us, her mortal remains, but her soul lives on, and her soul has a future. Paul says this is what was the case with Mrs. Jenkins before creation. And then during her life, she was redeemed and forgiven. And in the future, these words, the Lord will gather together all in Christ Jesus. This is speaking of heaven. This is speaking of the future glory. It doesn't mention her death. It's hardly significant. In spiritual terms, there in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, Mrs. Jenkins leaves here on earth behind her an inheritance. Perhaps you know of that large house which she has lived in for a very long time. She leaves that house behind, and it has value, and it also has contents. Some extraordinary contents. I don't know how much those things are worth, but they are, I'm sure, worth a pretty penny. And I'm sure the tax authorities will make a careful calculation as to exactly how much they are worth. And Mrs. Jenkins has left that inheritance behind to the Cats Protection League or to her relatives. I'm not sure which. But somebody will benefit. And yet, she is not the loser. Yes, she leaves behind an earthly inheritance, but she goes to a far greater one. The inheritance that she has in Christ Jesus. And what is that inheritance? It is everything. It is Christ. It is heaven. It is the new heavens and the new earth which will be recreated after this fallen earth has passed away. How wonderful. That's the story that Mrs. Jenkins would like you to know about her life. Those are the pertinent facts. Those are the important points. But there is more in verse 12. That we, that is, those of us who believe, Mrs. Jenkins, the Apostle Paul, the Christians at Ephesus, and the Christians here, and any who will in the future put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, her Saviour, and come into this body, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Mrs. Jenkins has gone ahead of us. We will follow in her footsteps if we have the faith in her Saviour that she had. In whom ye also trusted, ye Ephesians, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Mrs. Jenkins at some point heard the gospel. She heard the good news. She heard that although she was a sinner and a rebel, yet God had made a way of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had come down from the sapphire paved courts of heaven to be born on a stable floor and to live as a human being, subjecting himself to earthly parents, to physical restriction, to the mocking and taunting and hatred of those around him, and of course to that death on the cross of Calvary, that cruel Roman death. The Jews and the Romans consorting together to have him murdered unjustly, to suffer the death of a base criminal. But he went to that cross willingly. He went to that cross to achieve our salvation, to achieve the salvation of Thelma Jenkins. He went willingly to take in his own body and in his own soul the punishment for sins that he hadn't committed. Punishment for all the sins that Mrs. Jenkins committed. I'd be shocked perhaps to hear me say that. She was a lovely, kind Christian lady. What sins are you talking about? What skeletons did she have in her closet? Well, no, none that I know of. If she were here today, she would say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That her own breaking of God's perfect law condemned her to an eternity of punishment in hell, but by Jesus Christ's death, by the grace of God, she's forgiven. What's the purpose of all of this? Well, the purpose of all of this is the praise of his glory, that she might glorify God on earth and for eternity in heaven and on the new earth. This is the key truth of Mrs. Jenkins' life. This is the purpose of God's plan. This is the method by which he fulfilled it. I came to this church in 2009. Sid Cook, unable to be with us this evening as he's very unwell, and his wife has very recently passed away. He said, Oliver, I don't know how much longer Mrs. Jenkins will be able to keep coming. She's very frail. She was still driving at that time. With the aid of one or two parked cars, she would bounce off and make her way to the church. Eventually, she thought better of it, and others would pick her up and bring her to this place. And she was frail. Frail in body. And she continued to become more and more frail in body until even just coming down the steps of her house was difficult. But she suffered also very greatly in her mind, especially in the mornings. Misery and depression and dark moods would attack her. And it would be very difficult for her to draw herself together, mentally and physically, to bring herself out of bed and to come to church on a Sunday morning. She dragged herself here against tremendous opposition. She suffered very grievously. Why did God allow that? Why did God allow one of his children, who did so much to promote his glory and his gospel, who trusted him, who loved him, who praised and worshipped him, who sought to maintain churches like this one, why did the Lord allow her to go through such difficulties? There can only be one answer. Somehow, this was for his glory. But how? Was it just so that the preacher at her funeral would have something to say? No, it couldn't be that. The Lord is the witness to her sufferings and her faith. Her faith was strengthened through those sufferings. I don't know that the angels in heaven haven't seen that. And praise God when they look down and see what she goes through. Perhaps the witnesses to that suffering here on earth and to her faith were very few. But in the light of eternity, perhaps it will be made visible to all. Through those sufferings, as Solomon has suggested, she has no doubt learnt a great deal. And her love for her Saviour was intensified. And the very great joy of going to be with her Saviour also intensified. Remember when I came to the end of my time as the pastor here of this church, it was very difficult. I had 7 children at home. I had 3 children who went down with a whooping cough, which takes 3 months to get over. I was hospitalised with a throat infection for the only time in my entire life. Neighbour was slashing my tyres on 7 occasions and blasting music through my bedroom wall to disturb my preparations. And it was hard. And I was leaving. I knew I was leaving at the end of the year, and there was still work to do. And it was like, in a sense, leaving behind one's loved ones here at this church, but going to a place where there would be rest and recuperation. It was a bit like death. And how much more wonderful for Mrs. Jenkins. She fought her way through the last few months and years of hardship and difficulty. She fixed her eyes upon the prize. She knew that the promotion to heaven was coming, and she would have taken very great comfort from many of God's promises, but I'm sure especially Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, she is experiencing that now. And we can say of her, we can paraphrase the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4. She has fought a good fight. She has finished her course. She has kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for Mrs. Jenkins a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give her in that day. And not only to her, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Do we love his appearing? Are we living for this life? The puny pleasures, the passing, feeble joys? Or are we looking above and beyond, as Mrs. Jenkins did? To the glory, to the resurrection, to the going to be with the Lord, where there'll be no more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, only joy and bliss evermore. Are you counted among that number? Or will you say, it was better for me to go to a funeral than to a wedding? Because when I went to that funeral, I was made to consider the eternal destiny of my soul. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me that all the things that I was working for in this life were only so much wood, hay and stubble in comparison with the salvation which is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and draw you to himself. And as we mourn our sister, and our mother, grandmother and dear friend Mrs. Jenkins, we mourn for ourselves. We rejoice for her. Let's pray together. Our dear Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the God who is sovereign over all of history and has ordered all things according to thy perfect will and counsel. We thank thee, Lord, that there are those thy people that thou hast chosen for glory. Thou hast wooed us and pursued us, shown us our sin and our need of a Saviour, and thou hast taught us to trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh Lord, may every one of us here this evening, this afternoon, may every one of us, Lord, consider these eternal matters. May we not be preoccupied with the passing, with the temporal, with the secular, with the physical, with the here and now. May we take a step back and consider the eternal destiny of our souls. Lord, we thank thee for the life of Mrs. Jenkins. We thank thee, Lord, for her testimony and her witness, which continues although she has passed from this world. Oh, loving Father, may we all be counted amongst those number, the number of those that will follow her into heaven in due course. These things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. Now, closing hymn is, "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me."
Oh,
And Father, we pray that thou would be with us for the rest of this day. Bless to us, Lord, the food and the refreshments that we're about to enjoy. We thank thee for them. O Lord, may our fellowship be sweet and fruitful. And now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.